Hi, welcome to the Read Play Talk podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Paris.
And I'm your other host, Jack Love.
This podcast is a resource for all things Read Play Talk. We hope that our listeners will be encouraged to read, play, and talk with their children every day. This episode is part two of a two-episode series with Dr. Audrey Robinson, who is a play therapist at Mesquite ISD's Family Support Center. In this episode, we are talking with Audrey about giving kids choices. Welcome back, Audrey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, when I was putting together the outline for this, we were originally just going to do one episode, but I thought there is so much content in here that is so good that we need to break it up into two. So here we are, coming back for lap number two. I'm excited about it.
I love it.
But again, if you haven't listened to episode one, I encourage you to go back and do that. But we are structuring this conversation and the conversation from our last episode around some videos that you put together back in May of 2020 on limit setting and giving kids choices. So if you haven't done so already, please go back and listen to part one and then come back right here to listen to part two.
That's right. So let's begin bridging the gap maybe between the two episodes. Audrey, can you tell us, how does giving kids choices help with limit setting?
So they really go hand in hand. Limit setting, you're setting up your kids to have boundaries, to start trusting themselves, to start making decisions about their behavior and living with what happens after those consequences. And giving choices kind of goes hand in hand with that. That's like leveling up. You know, you can add those choices onto setting a limit, and it helps kids with self-regulation, which is really the first step in self-control. It helps them to have good boundaries, to regulate and to make good choices, and to be able to go outside of our safety net and really interact with the world in healthy ways.
Yeah, I heard you say, you know, it goes hand in hand, and it really does. When we were prepping for this episode, I was originally just going to do giving choices. Mm-hmm. And then in your video, you referenced the limit setting. I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to go back and do that. And then watching, I think it's three videos total.
Giving choices, part one and two,
and then limit setting is just one. But I'm like, these really do, they blend so well together. Mm-hmm. And this is something, if we're going to be providing this information, we should just provide all of it and provide both sides. So I'm excited about it. So let's talk. We asked in the last episode, why is limit setting so important? So let's talk now. Why is giving kids choices so important? And should we give kids different choices depending on their age?
Yes. So it is so important. This is like, you know, with limit setting, we start them off. That's kind of their foundation with understanding there's rules in life, different rules for different locations, home, school, all the places they go, and then how to interact with those rules. And now we're kind of building that problem solving. Okay, something has happened, and now I have a choice. And I need to think through, if I choose this, then what happens? So we're helping kids to kind of even think one step ahead and be able to think about, okay, what are the consequences if I do this or that? And I'm using consequences as like good or bad, not just consequences usually gets a bad connotation, but the results of a kid's action. And yes, we need to give different choices for different ages. We're going to give little choices to little kids and big choices to big kids. And that's the amount of choices you give. You're going to give far less choices the younger the kid is. Older kids can handle more choices, and also like the number of those choices that you give. So you're not going to give choices to a three-year-old 10 or even 20 times a day. You're going to pick like maybe one thing you really want to focus on at a time. It's really all littles can handle is maybe one or two things. Older kids can handle more or even more choices than just one or two things. I like to think about McDonald's. McDonald's really has it down to science. You go to McDonald's and you choose a Happy Meal and you have two choices. Yeah. You get a hamburger or you get nuggets. That's really what we want to do for our kids. We don't want to overwhelm them with a whole giant menu of things. It's this or that, and you can add cheese to one if you want.
I love the McDonald's analogy because I think it's perfect. Mm-hmm. But you said something really interesting when you said it's basically giving kids opportunities to practice problem solving. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of how many choices we as adults make a day, like a ridiculous amount. You know, we probably have like decision fatigue, you know, by the end of it. But you think, if as a parent, if you're making all these choices for your kids, mm-hmm. you know, you don't give them any opportunity to make a choice. When it does come to the point where they have to make a choice, they don't know what to do, you know, and a lot of times could make some really unhealthy decisions just because they haven't been able to make choices in a safe space mm-hmm. with their parents.
They don't know what that feels like, that responsibility and that burden. It can be really anxiety producing for kids who aren't allowed to make a lot of choices later in life. Then we get kids who, you know, we see this where you've got kind of one side of the spectrum or the other. Kids, they get freedom and they go crazy. Yeah. You know, they make every choice they can. They're doing all the things with that freedom. And then you get other kids who are like really scared and anxious and don't want to do a lot of things and are, you know, struggle with even maybe going places like school. And so we want to kind of practice some of that stuff early on under our safety net so our kids get used to making those choices. They get used to that feeling of responsibility and, you know, the consequences that results that come with their actions.
Yeah, sure. Understand the results of responsibility and also of disappointment when a wrong choice is made.
Absolutely.
Or something that they regret after the fact.
How to handle that, how to handle those feelings, you know, and knowing that there's nobody else to blame but yourself.
Well, I would just like to thank you both for making me feel old. Because back
Stop
in my
it.
Day, we didn't have chicken nuggets as a choice. We had a hamburger, and that was it.
That was it. Oh. So. See, McDonald's knew that kids needed choices.
They need choices.
Yep. Perfect, yeah. They realized that they were raising an entire generation of poor decision makers. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So in one of your giving videos, you talk about the difference between being a thermostat and a thermometer. Mm-hmm. Which is really kind of cool. But can you give us an explanation of what you mean there?
Yeah. So a thermometer takes the temperature, right? Like it's just reacting to it. It doesn't set the temperature like a thermostat. Oh, it's warm in here. I'm going to go turn it down. I'm going to cool things down. So as parents, we want to be that thermostat. We want to go, okay, things are getting a little heated. Things are getting a little anxious or whatever it is. I'm going to calm myself and thereby taking the temperature down with us rather than just being a thermometer and reacting to it. Oh, there's a fever going on. I'm just telling you there's a fever and I'm matching that level. And what we know is when kids escalate and we escalate, it's just everybody escalates until it explodes.
It's a power struggle.
Yeah.
It just keeps going up.
It keeps going and going until the end.
Yeah. And again, we talked about last episode too, but it puts a lot of responsibility on the parent. Like, you're the adult. You are the one that gets to decide, am I going to be a thermostat or am I going to be a thermometer?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's that, you know, we're showing our kids, okay, when things get going, how do we handle it? And kind of touching on something we talked about last time that, like, well, what happens when I mess it up? Because obviously you're not going to be a perfect thermostat every single time. You have feelings and we all react at times in ways we wish we hadn't. It's better to show your kids what happens when you react and maybe lose your cool and then come back and say, man, that's not how I wish this would have gone. That's not how I want to treat you. I'd like to a redo. Can we reset and redo this? And kids need that more than they need a perfect parent.
In parenting, not everything goes the way that we plan. You know, like when we do this giving choices, sometimes it works great and it is a really teachable moment for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes our kids are just like in a full-on meltdown.
Where
kind of like how we talked about last time, mm-hmm. they're drowning, like out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of walk us through that because parents, like this happens, right? Kids melt down.
Yeah.
So how do you handle giving choices when your child's in the middle of a meltdown or maybe even when they're refusing to make the choice in general?
Yeah. In the middle of a meltdown or a tantrum, then I wouldn't be giving any kind of choices. When you start talking, kids aren't in their like logical, rational brain. They're back in their emotional brain. And so trying to talk to that logical, rational part of their brain often makes things get worse, right? They get more and more upset the more you talk to a kid. So maybe co-regulating, finding some ways to help your kid calm down. And it's okay to help them because they're humans for the first time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know as an adult, I struggle with really big emotions. And so just teaching them and kind of modeling or showing or helping them to calm down before you start doing any kind of limit setting or choices like that.
So talk to us a little bit about what that looks like. Because I know in one of your videos, you mentioned a time where your daughter was having a meltdown. You just go and you just wrapped her up mm-hmm. in a hug and mm-hmm. just let her kind of melt into you. You have some other examples of ways that parents could handle meltdowns to calm their kids down?
Sure. You know, my kid is big on hugs and touch, and sometimes kids really need that, just kind of wrap up and be in a hug. Sometimes she's melting down, and I also need to take some time away. I don't do that. I try not to do that in a punitive way, like, hey, we're going to have some calm down time. This is not a punishment. You can go in your room, and you can scream as loud as you want into a pillow. I'm going to take some time in my room, too, because I need some time to calm down. And, you know, together, my husband, you know, likes to intervene because sometimes we butt heads. And,
sure.
And so finding the things that work with your kid. Sometimes kids need some time by themselves. Those, you know, you might notice your kid crawls under a table or is under their bed or anything like that. let them do that. They're helping themselves, and without telling you but in words, they're saying, like, I got to be by myself. I need some time. Giving them that time and space, and then when everybody's calm, coming back together. Some kids need you right there, that big old hug, laying on the floor with them while they're letting all those big feelings out, and that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. You hit something, the nail on the head, when you talked about, like, it's not a punishment. Even when you allow your kid to be by themselves, it's not this attitude of like, okay, fine, well, you stay in here until you're ready to come out.
Yeah.
But, you know, adjusting that attitude of like, okay, I see you're overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a little bit of time by yourself, and walking away.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that I was super smart and professional and knew what I was doing through all of this, because it takes me back to a time with Josh. He melted down in Target one time.
Always in public.
Yeah.
Always.
Yep.
And I feel bad at the time, but, you know, as I looked on it through the years, I'm like, man, that was the best thing I did. I felt bad for the employees because we just left a basket full of stuff
absolutely
in the middle of the...
Absolutely, yeah.
And I put them in the car. We drove home, and we had a talk about how it's unacceptable to do that, and never had a problem from him again. So
yeah.
So if you need some tips, just come see me. I can
absolutely. A little parenting expert, Jack Love, over there. Yeah. And so what about the last half of that? When kids refuse to make choices, how do you handle that?
So not choosing is a choice. It's choosing not to choose. Oh my gosh, I'm going to say choose like 1,000 times from this point forward to the end of this episode. So choosing not to choose is a choice. And so I say something like, I see you have chosen for me to choose. Mm-hmm. Again, putting it back on the kid, saying like, it's your choice. And, you know, and sometimes kids, mine is strong-willed. And sometimes I give her the two choices and she is adamant that she doesn't want either of those. Okay, well, I see that you've chosen for me to choose and I will choose. And you've got to be ready for what comes after that. Mm. And I feel like there's this pressure, this myth out there that like our kids should never melt down, never have any kind of tantrums. That is just not true. Like that is a normal, healthy part of development. And the goal of parenting is not to avoid meltdowns and not to avoid any kind of uncomfortableness in our lives. We're going to have to let our kids have that meltdown. But after you do this a couple of times, your kid's going to realize throwing that fit, melting down, letting my feelings out, mom, dad, whoever is going to be there with me, they're going to support me. That's not going to change what happened. I don't get to throw this fit and get that third choice.
I was always worried about what people around me were thinking. They've been through the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
Yes. So you're like, you're freaking out. And I know that even more now because what it happens to me, I'm like, I've been through that. Don't worry.
Right.
I understand.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right. We're going to go back to a word that we talked about a lot in the last podcast, which was consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that is a limit setting. It's going to be the same thing for giving choices, right?
Absolutely.
So can you talk to us maybe about how being consistent with these actions and even using the word choose, like you said, you're going to use it a lot.
You're going to use the word choose so much. You're going to be so tired of hearing it, but your kids are really going to understand the more you use it. As soon as they hear that word choose or choice, their ears are going to prick up after they, you know, after you've gone through this and done this several times, and they're going to be like, oh, here it comes again. Okay, I know I've got something. Their brains kick in and listen a little bit more closely. Similar to limit setting, you want to be as consistent as possible. If you're giving a choice for something that you've decided is really important for your kids' development in your household, in this setting, then you want to make sure that that is the same thing that happens every time. And we don't want to go overkill with choices just like limits. We don't want to give a choice for every single little thing. We're going to burn ourselves out, and our kids are going to get burned out too.
And plus, they need to be realistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's some things that you think should happen, but we talked about these human beings that have only been on the planet for 3 years, there's a time where they're just not capable of doing that. And it's your job to figure out that they're not.
Absolutely. Capable. And so being aware of what's developmentally okay and normal for your kids at each age and stage. And I'm going to kind of plug me and Lindsay's other project is we have this Ages and Stages video series that we're doing that kind of gives information about like what's normal for a 1-year-old, for a 2-year-old, all the way up. We're going to be going up through, 12-year-olds. And so just knowing like 3-year-olds can't do this. They cannot do this. So expecting my 3-year-old to do this, like something like sharing. Sure, we want to model it. We want to start talking about it. We want to teach them that. But expecting them to do that consistently, of their own is just not going to happen at 3. So,
right.
Yeah. And I think you've mentioned it, and I think it's important to reemphasize that when you're giving choices, you want to make sure that the choices are like of equal value.
Mm-hmm.
And that you as a parent are okay with whatever choice they choose.
Yes.
You know, like in your video, I can't remember what the exact choice is, but it's like you can either do this. Oh, you can either eat this apple or you can go have a timeout. Uh-huh. Like, those are not equal choices.
Those are not choices. Nobody's, well, I mean, some kids would be like, yeah, I'm taking the timeout.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But those aren't equal options. Like, if you know, something that's equally acceptable that I'm also okay with. I don't want to give one choice that's what I want my kid to choose. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be, you know, something to pay if they choose the other one. I have to be okay as a parent with either one, because that's the whole part of this, is facilitating that problem solving and that responsibility in our kids, that self-control. And so having equal choices, you can eat an apple or you can eat, you know, carrots, something I'm okay with.
Yeah. And being okay with either one. I fail at this so many times when I'll give my girls a choice, especially with, like, if we're going out to buy, like, a new shirt or new dress. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do you like this dress or this dress better? When clearly I have one in my head.
Absolutely.
That I like this
that
one.
That you want them
I
to
like
get.
I like this one more.
This one better?
Yeah, right. Or this sad one over here. Yeah.
Are you sure you like that
without
one?
Without fail, they will pick the one that I don't like. And I'll be like, really? Did you notice how this one had, you know, but... When we give our kids choices, it's empowering them to make the decision, to own it. And then, we as a parent,
we
have to accept
it.
And if it's, and honestly, if it's not something that we're willing to compromise on, then we don't need to give them the choice.
No. Sometimes there are things in parenting that we don't give choices for. You don't get a choice whether you take medicine or not. You have to take the medicine. Now, we can give a choice around that. You can take, would you like apple juice or orange juice after you take your medicine?
Yeah.
Would you like to take it before or after your bath? We can give some choices regarding that, but whether or not they get to take the medicine, that's not a choice.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a loophole with the dress thing. You should just show them two dresses that you like.
I know.
Right?
See, but there's always one that you like better. There's always.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
That's why you have boys. You don't have to worry about that.
See? Yeah. I know. Too many girls.
No, with shopping, my mom is the only one who can go shopping with me because I have a hard time making decisions.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, this or that. I go back and forth, and I'll be like, what do you think? And it never fails. I choose the opposite of whatever she thinks.
Yes. Yeah. I say all the time, because I'm also a terrible decision maker. Overanalyzing is one of my best hobbies, best talents that I have. A lot of times people ask, where do you want to eat? And I'll say, I don't like this game. Like, I don't want to play today. Please don't ask me we're going or what we're doing.
No, I hate that question.
Okay, let's talk about consequences, because we talked about that earlier in the episode. You know, consequences, good or bad, come with choices and decisions that kids make. So talk with us about the differences in natural consequences and logical consequences, and then maybe talk to us about why it's important to allow kids to feel those consequences of their choices instead of protecting them from it.
Yeah, I think protecting our kids from that stuff is default for a lot of us. You know, we want them to have things easy and go well, and it's not always what's best for our kids. Like, I know I fight myself as a parent, like, you know, not ever wanting her to feel that disappointment, but she needs to know what that's like. So natural consequences are things that would occur in nature. So, like, you tell your kid, hey, the rule in our house is when you're done riding your bike, bikes go up in the garage. Kid leaves their bike out in the rain, bike rusts. That's a law of nature, right? Rain gets on the bike, it rusts. So that's a natural consequence. A logical consequence is something that happens that's not nature. So, you know, the rule is in our house, you know, caps go back on markers when you're done using them. Caps stay off of markers. Markers dry out and they go in the trash. That's a logical consequence. You now have less markers because you chose to leave the caps off. So that's kind of the difference between, like, natural and logical consequences. They get used interchangeably a lot, but there's, you know, some subtle differences.
Yeah. And why is it important to allow our kids to feel those consequences instead of rescuing them or making everything okay all the time?
Yeah, making it okay, swapping those markers out immediately for new markers. I mean, kids understand that
or
what
beta
they...
fish.
Sad. Emma and rock and roll. Yeah, rest in peace. Okay.
Oh.
Or fish that died. That's okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, we had Darth Fish. He's the one that died.
Darth Fish.
Yeah, when they were little. Sorry, I did not mean to interrupt. But
no, that's fine.
Because I like freaking out. I got to go, I gotta buy the beta fish that looks exactly like the beta fish that died. So, you know.
Yeah, I was curious about the fish.
Yeah, that's why, right? Like, instead of letting them understand that things, if you don't take care of them, you know.
Sure, when you don't feed your fish, it dies.
Yeah.
Like, kids understand that, you know, bad things happen in life, so they don't get to later in life and think, oh my gosh, there are unpleasant things that happen in life. What is this about? I'm doing something wrong. Life isn't perfect. Again, that, you know, kids don't need perfect parents. They don't need a perfect situations or environment in their life. They need present and consistency. And so allowing kids to feel those feelings and know what it feels like and build up those muscles to be able to handle adversity, disappointment, to kind of build that grit in them and to understand, like, when I do this, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And at some point in their life, there's not going to be somebody to rescue them. There are some choices that we make that we can't come back from. And we don't want our kids to get to those points and think, like, it's going to be a do-over, like some kind of video game or reset, or somebody's going to come bail me out.
And we mentioned in the last episode, too, but it's setting these limits and giving kids opportunities to make choices in safe spaces. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not giving them life-altering choices right now. But it's like letting them make choices with training wheels on. Like, we're training them how to make choices, training them how to problem solve. So that way, when they are faced with a situation that could greatly affect their life, you know, hopefully they've had enough practice and life experience to be able to answer that or make that choice logically and with a sound mind. Mm-hmm.
You know, we want them, when they get to middle school and they're presented with some tough choices or some tough situations, you know, with peer groups or, you know, the things that they can have access to, we want them to be able to think about, okay, if I do this, then this happens. If I do this, then that happens, and be able to live with the consequences. That's why, you know, when we give our kids choices, we've got to kind of have some of that emotional distance from it and not be too invested, or at least not show how invested we are in the choice, because we want kids to fully understand what that responsibility feels like.
Which is important. A huge part of parenting.
So hard.
It is so hard.
It is so hard.
Yeah.
Well, rest assured, my kids know I'm not perfect.
There you go.
They've gotten plenty of information and a lot of experience realizing that I'm not. Well, great. It's been wonderful having you again. And we always like to discuss about these topics of limits and consequences and all those types of things. You know, while I am raising two that are almost gone, I always get to look back and say, well, you know, I think I did this right, or I think I didn't do that right. And so hopefully as they grow older, you know, I can help them in their decision making too with whatever humans they put on the earth. And hopefully that's a long time for
a long time. Yeah. But we appreciate you sharing this information.
Thanks. I love talking about this stuff.
It's so practical and necessary for parents to hear. And, you know, every time I talk with you or watch a resource that you put out, my initial thought is always, I wish more people could hear this or more people could know about this. And so hopefully through this podcast,
thanks.
You know, we'll reach more families and help parents develop their parenting skills too.
It's a good refresher for me. Like, you know, every time I talk to parents about this or do something like this, it refreshes all these things that I know, you know, and sometimes we get away from. And so I guarantee later tonight I'll be like using the choices, you know, you can choose this or you can choose this. Which do you choose?
There's that choose word again all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I think this is our first, like, back-to-back guest.
Yeah, our first, like, two-part episode.
Yeah, I love
two-part series, like, limited edition. I'm feeling kind of...
And the only one who's been on the podcast three times now, which is...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get you some
honor.
Kind of a ribbon or something.
Right, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us. We always learn so much.
Thank you, Audrey. Thanks for listening to today's episode with our guest, Dr. Audrey Robinson. If you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. We would love it if you would share this episode with friends and other families in your community that could benefit from this information. We encourage you to follow us on all of our social media platforms for ideas on how to read, play, and talk together at home. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Read Play Talk and on Twitter at Read Play Talk TX. Hi, welcome to the Read Play Talk podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Paris.
And I'm your other host, Jack Love.
This podcast is a resource for all things Read, Play, Talk. We hope that our listeners will be encouraged to read, play, and talk with their children every day. This episode is part two of a two-episode series with Dr. Audrey Robinson, who is a play therapist at Mesquite ISD's Family Support Center. In this episode, we are talking with Audrey about giving kids choices. Welcome back, Audrey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, when I was putting together the outline for this, we were originally just going to do one episode, but I thought there is so much content in here that is so good that we need to break it up into two. So
yep.
Here we are coming back for lap number two. I'm excited about it.
I love it.
But again, if you haven't listened to episode one, I encourage you to go back and do that. But we are structuring this conversation and the conversation from our last episode around some videos that you put together back in May of 2020 on limit setting and giving kids choices. So if you haven't done so already, please go back and listen to part one and then come back right here to listen to part two.
That's right. So let's begin bridging the gap maybe between the two episodes. Audrey, can you tell us, how does giving kids choices help with limit setting?
So they really go hand in hand. Limit setting, you're setting up your kids to have boundaries, to start trusting themselves, to start making decisions about their behavior and living with what happens after those consequences. And giving choices kind of goes hand in hand with that. That's like leveling up. You know, you can add those choices onto setting a limit, and it helps kids with self-regulation, which is really the first step in self-control. It helps them to have good boundaries, to regulate and to make good choices, and to be able to go outside of our safety net and really interact with the world in healthy ways.
Yeah, I heard you say, you know, it goes hand in hand, and it really does. When we were prepping for this episode, I was originally just going to do giving choices.
Mm-hmm.
And then in your video, you referenced the limit setting. I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to go back and do that. And then watching, I think it's three videos total.
It
giving
is,
choices,
yeah.
Part mm-hmm. one and two, and then limit setting is just one. But I'm like, these really do, they blend so well together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something, if we're going to be providing this information, we should just provide all of it.
Yeah.
And provide both sides. So I'm excited about it. So let's talk. We asked in the last episode, why is limit setting so important? So let's talk now. Why is giving kids choices so important? And should we give kids different choices depending on their age?
Yes. So it is so important. This is like, you know, with limit setting, we start them off. That's kind of their foundation with understanding there's rules in life, different rules for different locations. Home, school, all the places they go, and then how to interact with those rules. And now we're kind of building that problem solving. Okay, something has happened, and now I have a choice. And I need to think through, if I choose this, then what happens? So we're helping kids to kind of even think one step ahead and be able to think about, okay, what are the consequences if I do this or that? And I'm using consequences as like good or bad, not just consequences usually gets a bad connotation, but the results of a kid's action. And yes, we need to give different choices for different ages. We're going to give little choices to little kids and big choices to big kids. And that's the amount of choices you give. You're going to give far less choices the younger the kid is. Older kids can handle more choices, and also like the number of those choices that you give. So you're not going to give choices to a 3-year-old 10 or even 20 times a day. You're going to pick like maybe one thing you really want to focus on at a time. It's really all littles can handle is maybe one or two things. Older kids can handle more or even more choices than just one or two things. I like to think about McDonald's. McDonald's really has it down to science. You go to McDonald's and you choose a Happy Meal and you have two choices.
Yeah.
You get a hamburger or you get nuggets. That's really what we want to do for our kids. We don't want to overwhelm them with a whole giant menu of things. It's this or that, and you can add cheese to one if you want.
I love the McDonald's analogy because I think it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But you said something really interesting when you said it's basically giving kids opportunities to practice problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of how many choices we as adults make a day, like a ridiculous amount. You know, we probably have like decision fatigue, you know, by the end of it. But you think, if as a parent, if you're making all these choices for your kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't give them any opportunity to make a choice. When it does come to the point where they have to make a choice, they don't know what to do, you know, and a lot of times could make some really unhealthy decisions just because they haven't been able to make choices in a safe space
mm-hmm.
with their parents.
They don't know what that feels like, that responsibility and that burden. It can be really anxiety producing for kids who aren't allowed to make a lot of choices later in life. Then we get kids who, you know, we see this where you've got kind of one side of the spectrum or the other. Kids, they get freedom and they go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, they make every choice they can. They're doing all the things with that freedom. And then you get other kids who are like really scared and anxious and don't want to do a lot of things and are, you know, struggle with even maybe going places like school. And so we want to kind of practice some of that stuff early on under our safety net so our kids get used to making those choices. They get used to that feeling of responsibility and, you know, the consequences that results that come with their actions.
Yeah, sure. Understand the results of responsibility and also of disappointment when a wrong choice is made.
Absolutely.
Or something that they regret after the fact.
How to handle that, how to handle those feelings, you know, and knowing that there's nobody else to blame but yourself.
Well, I would just like to thank you both for making me feel old. Because back
Stop
in my
it.
Day, we didn't have chicken nuggets as a choice. We had a hamburger, and that was it.
That was it. Oh. So. See, McDonald's knew that kids needed choices.
They need choices.
Yep. Perfect, yeah. They realized that they were raising an entire generation
of
poor decision makers. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So in one of your giving videos, you talk about the difference between being a thermostat and a thermometer. Mm-hmm. Which is really kind of cool. But can you give us an explanation of what you mean there?
Yeah. So a thermometer takes the temperature, right? Like it's just reacting to it. It doesn't set the temperature like a thermostat. Oh, it's warm in here. I'm going to go turn it down. I'm going to cool things down. So as parents, we want to be that thermostat. We want to go, okay, things are getting a little heated. Things are getting a little anxious or whatever it is. I'm going to calm myself and thereby taking the temperature down with us rather than just being a thermometer and reacting to it. Oh, there's a fever going on. I'm just telling you there's a fever and I'm matching that level. And what we know is when kids escalate and we escalate, it's just everybody escalates until it explodes.
It's a power struggle.
Yeah.
It just keeps going up.
It keeps going and going until the end.
Yeah. And again, we talked about last episode too, but it puts a lot of responsibility on the parent. Like, you're the adult. You are the one that gets to decide, am I going to be a thermostat or am I going to be a thermometer?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's that, you know, we're showing our kids, okay, when things get going, how do we handle it? And kind of touching on something we talked about last time, that like, well, what happens when I mess it up? Because obviously you're not going to be a perfect thermostat every single time. You have feelings and we all react at times in ways we wish we hadn't. It's better to show your kids what happens when you react and maybe lose your cool and then come back and say, man, that's not how I wish this would have gone. That's not how I want to treat you. I'd like to a redo. Can we reset and redo this? And kids need that more than they need a perfect parent.
In parenting, not everything goes the way that we plan. You
no.
know, like when we do this giving choices, sometimes it works great and it is a really teachable moment for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes our kids are just like in a full-on meltdown.
We're
kind of like how we talked about last time. Mm-hmm. They're drowning, like out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of walk us through that, because parents, like, this happens, right? Kids melt down.
Yeah.
So how do you handle giving choices when your child's in the middle of a meltdown, or maybe even when they're refusing to make the choice in general?
Yeah. In the middle of a meltdown or a tantrum, then I wouldn't be giving any kind of choices. When you start talking, kids aren't in their like logical, rational brain. They're back in their emotional brain. And so trying to talk to that logical, rational part of their brain often makes things get worse, right? They get more and more upset the more you talk to a kid. So maybe co-regulating, finding some ways to help your kid calm down. And it's okay to help them because they're humans for the first time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know as an adult, I struggle with really big emotions. And so just teaching them and kind of modeling or showing or helping them to calm down before you start doing any kind of limit setting or choices like that.
So talk to us a little bit about what that looks like, because I know in one of your videos, you mentioned a time where your daughter was having a meltdown. And you just go and you just wrapped her up
mm-hmm.
in a hug and
mm-hmm.
just let her kind of melt into you. You
yeah.
have some other examples of ways that parents could handle meltdowns to calm their kids down?
Sure. You know, my kid is big on hugs and touch, and sometimes kids really need that, just kind of wrap up and be in a hug. Sometimes she's melting down, and I also need to take some time away. I don't do that. I try not to do that in a punitive way, like, hey, we're going to have some calm down time. This is not a punishment. You can go in your room, and you can scream as loud as you want into a pillow. I'm going to take some time in my room, too, because I need some time to calm down and, you know, together. My husband, you know, likes to intervene because sometimes we butt heads. And
sure.
And so finding the things that work with your kid. Sometimes kids need some time by themselves. Those, you know, you might notice your kid crawls under a table or is under their bed or anything like that. Let them do that. They're helping themselves. And without telling you in words, they're saying, like, I got to be by myself. I need some mm-hmm. time. Giving them that time and space, and then when everybody's calm, coming back together. Some kids need you right there, that big old hug, laying on the floor with them while they're letting all those big feelings out, and that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. You hit something, the nail on the head, when you talked about, like, it's not a punishment. Even when you allow your kid to be by themselves, It's not this attitude of like, okay, fine, well, you stay in here until you're ready to come out. Yeah. But, you know, adjusting that attitude of like, okay, I see you're overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a little bit of time mm-hmm. by yourself and walking away.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that I was super smart and professional and knew what I was doing through all of this, because it takes me back to a time with Josh. He melted down in Target one time.
Always in public.
Yeah.
Always.
Yep.
And I feel bad at the time, but, you know, as I looked on it through the years, I'm like, man, that was the best thing I did. I felt bad for the employees because we just left a basket full of stuff
Absolutely.
In the middle of the...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I put him in the car. We drove home. And we had a talk about how it's unacceptable mm-hmm. to do that, and never had a problem from him again. So
yeah.
So if you need some tips, just come see me. I can
Absolutely. Little parenting expert, Jack Love yeah. over there. Yeah. And so what about the last half of that? When kids refuse yeah. to make choices, yep. how do you handle that?
So not choosing is a choice. It's choosing not to choose. Oh my gosh, I'm going to say choose like 1,000 times right. from this point forward to the end of this episode. So choosing not to choose is a choice. And so I say something like, I see you have chosen for me to choose. Mm-hmm. Again, putting it back on the kid, saying like, it's your choice. And, you know, and sometimes kids, mine is strong-willed. And sometimes I give her the two choices and she is adamant that she doesn't want either of those. Okay, well, I see that you've chosen for me to choose and I will choose. And you've got to be ready for what comes after that. Mm. And I feel like there's this pressure, this myth out there that like our kids should never melt down, never have any kind of tantrums. That is just not true. Like that is a normal, healthy part of development. And the goal of parenting is not to avoid meltdowns and not to avoid any kind of uncomfortableness in our lives. We're going to have to let our kids have that meltdown. But after you do this a couple of times, your kid's going to realize throwing that fit, melting down, letting my feelings out, mom, dad, whoever is going to be there with me, they're going to support me. That's not going to change what happened. I don't get to throw this fit and get that third choice.
I was always worried about what people around me were thinking. They've been through the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
Yes. So you're like, you're freaking out. And I know that even more now because when it happens to me, I'm like, I've been through that. Don't worry.
Right.
I understand.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right. We're going to go back to a word that we talked about a lot in the last podcast, which was consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that is a limit setting. It's going to be the same thing for giving choices, right?
Absolutely.
So can you talk to us maybe about how being consistent with these actions and even using the word choose, like you said, you're going to use it a lot.
You're going to use the word choose so much. You're going to be so tired of hearing it, but your kids are really going to understand the more you use it. As soon as they hear that word choose or choice, their ears are going to prick up after they, you know, after you've gone through this and done this several times, and they're going to be like, oh, here it comes again. Okay, I know I've got something. Their brains kick in and listen a little bit more closely. Similar to limit setting, you want to be as consistent as possible. If you're giving a choice for something that you've decided is really important for your kids' development in your household, in this setting, then you want to make sure that that is the same thing that happens every time. And we don't want to go overkill with choices just like limits. We don't want to give a choice for every single little thing. We're going to burn ourselves out, and our kids are going to get burned out too.
And plus, they need to be realistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's some things that you think should happen, but we talked about these human beings that have only been on the planet for 3 years, there's a time where they're just not capable of doing that. And it's your job to figure out that they're not.
Absolutely. Capable. And so being aware of what's developmentally okay and normal for your kids at each age and stage. And I'm going to kind of plug me and Lindsay's other project is we have this Ages and Stages video series that we're doing that kind of gives information about like what's normal for a 1-year-old, for a 2-year-old, all the way up. We're going to be going up through, 12-year-olds. And so just knowing like 3-year-olds can't do this. They cannot do this. So expecting my 3-year-old to do this, like something like sharing. Sure, we want to model it. We want to start talking about it. We want to teach them that. But expecting them to do that consistently, of their own is just not going to happen at 3. So,
right.
Yeah. And I think you've mentioned it, and I think it's important to reemphasize that when you're giving choices, you want to make sure that the choices are like of equal value.
Mm-hmm.
And that you as a parent are okay with whatever choice they choose.
Yes.
Like in your video, I can't remember what the exact choice is, but it's like you can either do this. Oh, you can either eat this apple or you can go have a timeout. Uh-huh. Like those are not equal choices.
Those are not choices. Nobody's, some kids would be like, I'm taking the timeout.
Yeah, exactly.
But those aren't equal options. Like if, something that's equally acceptable that I'm also okay with. I don't want to give one choice that's what I want my kid to choose. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be, something to pay if they choose the other one. I want to be I have to be okay as a parent with either one, because that's the whole part of this, is facilitating that problem solving and that responsibility in our kids, that self-control. And so having equal choices, you can eat an apple or you can eat, you know, carrots, something I'm okay with.
Yeah. And yeah, being okay with either one. I fail at this so many times when I'll give my girls a choice, especially with, like, if we're going out to buy like a new shirt or new dress. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do you like this dress or this dress better? When clearly I have one in my head.
Absolutely.
That I like this
that
one.
That you want them
I
to
like
get.
I like this one more.
And
without
this one better?
Right. Or this sad one over here.
Yeah. Are you sure you like that
without
one?
Without fail, they will pick the one that I don't like. And I'll be like, really? Did you notice how this one had, you know, but when we give our kids choices, it's empowering them to make the decision, to own it. And then, we as a parent,
we
have to accept
it.
And if it's, and honestly, if it's not something that we're willing to compromise on, then we don't need to give them the choice.
No. Sometimes there are things in parenting that we don't give choices for. You don't get a choice whether you take medicine or not. You have to take the medicine. Now, we can give a choice around that. You can take, would you like apple juice or orange juice after you take your medicine?
Yeah.
Would you like to take it before or after your bath? We can give some choices regarding that, but whether or not they get to take the medicine, that's not a choice.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a loophole with the dress thing. You should just show them two dresses that you like.
I know.
Right?
But there's always one that you like better. There's always.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh.
That's why you have boys. You don't have to worry about that.
See? I know. Too many girls.
No, with shopping, my mom is the only one who can go shopping with me because I have a hard time making decisions.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, this or that. I go back and forth, and I'll be like, what do you think? And it never fails. I choose the opposite of whatever she thinks.
Yes. Yeah. I say all the time, because I'm also a terrible decision maker, overanalyzing as one of my best hobbies, best talents that I have. A lot of times people ask, where do you want to eat? And I'll say, I don't like this game. Like, I don't want to play today. Please don't ask me we're going or what we're doing.
No, I hate that question.
Okay, let's talk about consequences, because we talked about that earlier in the episode. You know, consequences, good or bad, come with choices and decisions that kids make. So talk with us about the differences in natural consequences and logical consequences, and then maybe talk to us about why it's important to allow kids to feel those consequences of their choices instead of protecting them from it.
Yeah, I think protecting our kids from that stuff is default for a lot of us. You know, we want them to have things easy and go well, and it's not always what's best for our kids. Like, I know I fight myself as a parent, like, you know, not ever wanting her to feel that disappointment, but she needs to know what that's like. So natural consequences are things that would occur in nature. So, like, you tell your kid, hey, the rule in our house is when you're done riding your bike, bikes go up in the garage. Kid leaves their bike out in the rain, bike rusts. That's a law of nature, right? Rain gets on the bike, it rusts. So that's a natural consequence. A logical consequence is something that happens that's not nature. So, you know, the rule is in our house, you know, caps go back on markers when you're done using them. Caps stay off of markers. Markers dry out and they go in the trash. That's a logical consequence. Mm-hmm. You now have less markers because you chose to leave the caps off. So that's kind of the difference between, like, natural and logical consequences. They get used interchangeably a lot, but there's, you know, some subtle differences.
Yeah. And why is it important to allow our kids to feel those consequences instead of rescuing them or making everything okay all the time.
Yeah, making it okay, swapping those markers out immediately for new markers. I mean, kids understand that
or
what they...
fish.
sad. Emma and rock and roll. Yeah, rest in peace. Okay.
Oh.
Or fish that died. That's okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, we had Darth Fish. He's the one that died.
Darth Fish.
Yeah, when they were little. Sorry, I did not mean to interrupt. But
No, that's fine.
Because I like freaking out. I got to go out and buy, a beta fish that looks exactly like the beta fish that died. So, you know.
Yeah, I was curious about the fish.
Yeah, that's why, right? Like, instead of letting them understand that things, if you don't take care of them, you know.
Sure, when you don't feed your fish, it dies.
Yeah.
Like, kids understand that, you know, bad things happen in life, so they don't get to later in life and think, oh my gosh, there are unpleasant things that happen in life. What is this about? I'm doing something wrong. Life isn't perfect. Again, that, you know, kids don't need perfect parents. They don't need a perfect situations or environment in their life. They need present and consistency. And so allowing kids to feel those feelings and know what it feels like and build up those muscles to be able to handle adversity, disappointment, to kind of build that grit in them and to understand, like, when I do this, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And at some point in their life, there's not going to be somebody to rescue them. There are some choices that we make that we can't come back from. And we don't want our kids to get to those points and think like, it's going to be a do-over, like some kind of video game or reset, or somebody's going to come bail me out.
And we mentioned in the last episode too, but it's setting these limits and giving kids opportunities to make choices in safe spaces. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not giving them life-altering choices right now. But it's like letting them make choices with training wheels on. Like, we're training them how to make choices, training them how to problem solve. So that way, when they are faced with a situation that could greatly affect their life, you know, hopefully they've had enough practice and life experience to be able to answer that or make that choice logically and with a sound mind. Mm-hmm.
You know, we want them when they get to middle school and they're presented with some tough choices or some tough situations, you know, with peer groups or, you know, the things that they can have access to. We want them to be able to think about, okay, if I do this, then this happens. If I do this, then that happens, and be able to live with the consequences. That's why, you know, when we give our kids choices, we've got to kind of have some of that emotional distance from it and not be too invested, or at least not show how invested we are in the choice, because we want kids to fully understand what that responsibility feels like.
Which is important, a huge part of parenting.
So hard.
It is so hard.
It is so hard.
Yeah.
Well, rest assured, my kids know I'm not perfect.
There you go.
They've gotten plenty of information and a lot of experience realizing that I'm not. Well, great. It's been wonderful having you again. And we always like to discuss about these topics of limits and consequences and all those types of things. You know, while I am raising two that are almost gone, I always get to look back and say, well, you know, I think I did this right, or I think I didn't do that right. And so hopefully as they grow older, you know, I can help them in their decision making too with whatever humans they put on the earth. And hopefully that's a long time for them.
But we appreciate you sharing this information.
Thanks. I love talking about this stuff.
It's so practical and necessary for parents to hear. And, you know, every time I talk with you or watch a resource that you put out, my initial thought is always, I wish more people could hear this or more people could know about this. And so hopefully through this podcast,
thanks,
you know, we'll reach more families and help parents develop their parenting skills too.
It's a good refresher for me. Like, you know, every time I talk to parents about this or do something like this, it refreshes all these things that I know, you know, and sometimes we get away from. And so I guarantee later tonight I'll be like using the choices, you know, you can choose this or you can choose this. Which do you choose?
There's that choose word again all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I think this is our first like back-to-back guest.
Yeah, our first like two-part episode.
Yeah, I love
two-part series, like limited edition. I'm feeling kind of...
And the only one who's been on the podcast three times now, which is...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get you some kind of a ribbon or something.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. We always learn so much.
Thank you, Audrey. Thanks for listening to today's episode with our guest, Dr. Audrey Robinson. If you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. We would love it if you would share this episode with friends and other families in your community that could benefit from this information. We encourage you to follow us on all of our social media platforms for ideas on how to read, play, and talk together at home. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Read Play Talk and on Twitter at Read Play Talk TX.